Great, good. Well, again, those of you who know a little about me know that this weekend has been quite a tough weekend for me, and some other people like me, because you know, we lost the championship yesterday, and I was asked whether or not I had my black armband on. I don't have a black armband on. I actually have a whole black T-shirt on underneath here. Because obviously I am in mourning for the sad and sorrowful thing that happened. But just to be clear about this, there is a theological point to be made, which is that what actually happened on Low Saturday, so yesterday was Low Saturday, today is Easter Day, and so, you know, our hopes die, but they are born again. Oh yeah, baby. Come on, next year, we're going to win. So... that's really all I want to say. That's actually the message for today, to be honest. That you think I'm kidding? That is actually what I'm going to be speaking about. I said when we were having communion, there's two parts to Easter. There's the day, Good Friday, the Passion of the Christ, the day that Jesus just poured out his love for us. And that's incredible, because what that does is it opens a door for us to enter into God's presence. It allows us to be able to actually just put everything aside and allows us once again to become children of God with nothing holding us back. And that's an incredible, incredible thing. That's one of the things that we celebrate. But the other thing we celebrate is this, that Jesus is not dead. He is alive. This is Resurrection Day. This is the day when hopes and dreams come alive again in God. And that's what we celebrate on Easter Day, that actually he who was dead is now alive. And the very thing that we thought that was dead would actually come to life. I'm not going to make any more silly jokes about Rangers, I promise. But that we will see these deep things, these things that are so precious and important to us, that they will become alive again, is actually part of the promise that we celebrate today. And so today what I want to do is I want to just read to you from the end of John's Gospel. And if you've got your Bibles with you, you're welcome to read along with me. John chapter 21. And we're going to read the story about Peter and Peter's restoration by Jesus after... what happened was we've had this story of Jesus coming back to life again, appearing to his disciples, doing all sorts of different things, and this happened over a period of time. A number of times he came back, and what then happened was that this encounter happens on the lake of Galilee. It's just on the shore of Galilee as Jesus once again encounters Peter and the rest of the disciples after he'd been raised from the dead, but before he ascended into heaven. So John chapter 21, and reading from verse 1. Jesus appeared to his disciples by the lake of by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathanael, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I am going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize it was Jesus. He called to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your nets on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." And when they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." And at verse 9, when they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. And verse 13, Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. Verse 15, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time, he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." And then in verse 19 it says, "Then he said to him, follow me." Let's pray. Father, we ask that today as we gather that you would come and speak to us. We thank you that today is Resurrection Day. And we want to pray that today here in this place, we would know what it is to encounter the living God and to be transformed by you here in this place. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Today is Resurrection Day. Today is the day when God comes and he brings back to life stuff that was dead. And God wants to do that for each and every one of us here today. He wants to bring back to life things that we thought had gone, things that we thought had died, things that we thought were no longer part of our lives, our hopes, our dreams. These are the things that God wants to speak about again to us today. Because the story of Jesus and Jesus' resurrection is not just simply a story about what happened to him. It's actually a story about what God wants to continue to do in us. And the reason that we know that is because in the early part of the book of Ephesians, it says to us that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available for God to work in our lives today. And so as we consider what happened all those years ago when Jesus was dead in the tomb and gone to his disciples, and all the hopes and all the dreams and everything else that they thought was going to happen actually were broken and smashed by what had seemed to be the end of everything. And God changed that. God raised him from the dead. God brought him back from death to life. What God did was he showed this. There is nothing that he cannot change. There is no circumstance which he cannot overcome. There is no hope or dream that we have that God does not want to speak over and say, "I am willing to bring that back to life today." Today is Resurrection Day. Today is the day that God is going to bring back to life these things for us and in us. So what do we mean by this? Let's think about the story of Peter, because Peter helps us to understand what God wants to do for us today. The first thing that we need to understand is this, that there is a God dream in each and every one of us. Peter was supposed to be the new leader of the church. That was the God dream. That was the thing that he was destined to do. That was what Jesus said to him. He spoke to Peter and he said, "Peter, you're going to be the bedrock of the new church. You're going to be the one in which we're going to build everything. You're going to be the one that's actually going to lead the rest of these guys to change the world." That was the God dream that was there for Peter. I think if Peter ever visited Glasgow, then we would describe him as being gallus. Yeah, he was gallus. He was the one that shoved everyone out of the way when the opportunity came to walk on water. You know, it was like, "Yes, let me at it." He was the one when Moses and Elijah appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration that actually, you know, he said, "I'm going to build some tents now. This is going to be great. It's fantastic. Look at this." He was the one who, when they came to arrest Jesus, he was the one that whipped out his sword and chopped the guy's ear off. He was impetuous. He was wild. He was a gallus kind of guy. He was just going for it. And it was because of that, I'm sure there was something in that that Jesus saw in him. And he went, "You are the kind of guy that I want to lead my church. Big, great big fisherman. Just a great bear of a man. You are going to be the leader of the church." That's what Jesus said to him. That was what Peter knew to be true. That was what Peter knew to be his destiny, his calling. That was what Peter knew to be the God call within his life. And I believe without any of shadow of doubt that there is a God dream in each and every one of our lives. We are all here for a purpose. We are all here with a destiny from God to fulfill, something that God has hardwired into our hearts. It says in Psalm 37, verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. We all have our heart's desires, and these are the God dreams that he's placed within each one of us. These are the things these are the bits in our life where we become truly passionate. You know, I don't know if you know, but the moment where you kind of just think, this is what I was always meant for. That moment where you just click and you think, I'm the most alive right now. That is the point where we actually have discovered the God dream that is within us. That place of passion, that place where we are so sure that this is what we were made for. This is what we are supposed to live for. And these are the things that God does. And it's interesting, God reveals our deepest desires in different ways. I've told this story before, but I was thinking about this as an illustration about how to discover your God dream. A few years ago, I had the delightful duty of taking some young people to a football match, and it was over at Ibrox, and it was some of the guys who were part of the kind of the youth work that we were doing in the area, and the guys that were there. There were three guys. They actually live quite close to here. They just live behind the building here. And their names were Div, Drakey, and Xander, which I think is great. What a brilliant name, sir. You know, so Div, Drakey, and Xander and me went to the football. And I have to say, I was a wee bit nervous about this experience because I kind of thought, you know, well, Div was all right. Drakey was a bit wild. But Xander was completely mad, like completely mad. And I actually thought, I wonder whether or not we're going to be able to, you know, what's going to happen at the football. So off we went to the football, and we got to the football and got into the thing. And everything was it was okay. The boys were quite excited. They're about, I don't know, they're maybe about 14, 15, 16, something like that kind of age. And we got into the football, and we sat back at the back of the Broomloan stand, the rear of the Broomloan. And by that time, the place was full. It was an early season European game where we actually won, so that tells you it was a few years ago, and we sat at the back of the thing anyway, and we all sat down, and so I had Div and Drakey on one side, and I had Xander on the other, and I was sort of setting myself down, you know, sitting down, going, oh, that's quite a good seat. Anyway, I'd sat down for about sort of 10 seconds, at which point Xander pops up like a maniac and starts, hello, hello. I'm not singing the rest of the song for you, but basically sang that song, and I'm sitting there thinking, oh no, I'm here and I'm in charge of these guys, and I'm going to get chucked out by the stewards. This guy's a nutter. He's going to get us all chucked out. Anyway, and I thought, oh, I can't believe that I've got myself into this thing. Anyway, that was bad enough. He got to the end of the first line of that particular song, at which point I'm sitting here. He's here. He stands and he turns around to me and he goes, come on, sing! Like that. At which point, I'm going, I was actually trying to get under the chair at that point. I was thinking, oh God, just take me away now, you know? Just let me disappear, you know? I know, please let the stewards take him and not take me. The game hasn't even started yet, you know? Anyway, so I'm like down here, and he's going, sing! Anyway, he turns around, and he starts again, hello! Hello! Anyway, I honestly, it was the most embarrassed moment I've ever had. I just thought, I cannot believe that this is happening. Except that within about 20 seconds, what actually happened was this, that he had got all 50,000 of the guys in Ibrox to sing. And all the way through the rest of that football match, I'm holding on to the back end of his shirt. Sit down, Xander. And he's sort of, no, I'm here to sing. Stands up and starts singing all the rest of the songs. I won't sing any of the rest of the songs because they're quite rude, obviously. But he was singing the songs. And the thing about it was that every single time he stood up and he started to sing, everybody joined in. Within just a few seconds, he had the whole of the stadium, 50,000 folks standing, singing alongside him. And this is my observation. My observation is that guy is supposed to be a worship leader. That's actually the God dream for him. That's actually what he's hardwired to do. He's just not found the God that he's supposed to worship yet. You know, he's still after the wrong thing, but that's actually what the God dream is on his heart. And when he discovers that, he is going to be amazing. Absolutely amazing. And my absolute conviction is this: there is a God dream in each and every one of our hearts. God has placed something in each one of us that is distinct and unique, and which undoubtedly, as we discover it and as we live it out, it will bring us life and in a way that we've never experienced before. The second thing, though, that we learn from Peter is this: it is easy to miss our life's calling and to settle for sleepwalking through life. It's very easy to miss our life's calling and to settle for sleepwalking through life. Peter abandoned Jesus, not once, but three times. On the night when Jesus was going to be taken away, he was the one, gallus as ever, who stood in front of everyone else and said, "Even if they leave you, Jesus, I'll never leave you." And by the end of the night, he was the one that three times, not once, but three times had said, "I don't know who this guy is." It is so easy for us to look at the circumstances of our life and to say, "Oh no, it's not possible for me to do these things. It's not possible for me to live that way." Because what happens is that we actually we think that actually the things that happen to us, the failures that go, you know, that we have, or the circumstances of life, or the people that are around about us that would stop us, what that does is actually it squashes the dream that God has placed within us. And it actually causes us to settle back into a place of safety and familiarity. A place that actually is just about plodding through life. And you know, that's exactly what Peter was wanting to do. That's actually what he was doing on that day. Do you know what he said to the guys? He said, "Let's go back to the fishing. Let's go back to the thing that we knew before we met Jesus. Let's go back and do something that we know how to do, that we aren't scared that we'll fail in." You can almost hear these mental processes, can't you? You can almost hear that kind of, you know, "We tried, we failed, and I'm going back to the fishing now. Because that's safe. That's the bit that I know that I can live with." And that is the bit that drives me absolutely bonkers in terms of the church. When I think that actually what's going to happen is that we're going to miss the opportunity to be the people that God has called us to be. We're going to play safe rather than live expansively. Life is meant to be lived in full technicolor with HD surround sound. It is not meant to be dumbed down. It's not meant to be, you know, just squashed into, you know, the sedate, familiar things that we feel we're safe and we're comfortable with. That's not what God wants to do. He wants us to actually live in a way that allows us to live life in all its fullness. Again, some of you will have heard this story, but I remember going with Diane to a wedding, and we went to, I think we were just newly married, so we must have been about sort of 21, something like that. And we went with our friend Ewan McCaffrey, and this was a nice Christian wedding. And we were immensely bored. We were so bored that it was difficult to describe just how bad this particular wedding was. We loved the people. The people who were getting married, lovely service, nice time. But it was just dour. It was miserable. There was no vitality. There was no enthusiasm. There was no sense of joy. There was no sort of sense of life about the whole thing. And you know, we withdrew. We kind of like, we ran off actually and found a kind of wee corner in the pub and sat. And the three of us sat there and we asked this question. We asked the question, "Is this it?" Thinking about what was happening next door in the reception. Is this what our Christian life is about? Is this what it's going to be like? Is that all that Jesus actually came to do for us? And my conviction, and the conviction that I absolutely hold and have held ever since, is this: that is not what Jesus came for us for. That we would just sedately bobble our way through our life as Christians. But instead, that we would live life in all its fullness. Jesus said, I have come to give you life and life in all its full. And that does not mean in heaven. It does mean in heaven. It does actually mean in heaven. It means that, you know, when we get to, you know, if we put our faith in Jesus Christ, then we will live with God in heaven forever. That's true. But the promise of God is this, that actually Jesus said, I'm going to give you life in all its fullness now, here, right now, in this place, in this time. That's the promise of God. And, you know, I think that we cannot just simply look at what happens in our life and say, okay, I'm just going to let it all slide. I'm just going to let it all happen. I don't want to kind of, I'm not sure how this is going to work. Maybe it's because, maybe because of like Peter, we feel that we've failed and let God down. Maybe because the circumstances are difficult. Maybe because of other things. I don't know what it is. But whatever it is, I am convinced of this, that actually that is not what God wants for us. That's not what he promised us. That is not what it's about. God wants us to have our heart's desires. He wants us to have the things that are most important to us. He wants us to pursue the God dream that he's placed within us. And of course, that's what happened when we had, when we kind of get to the place where we go back to the encounter with Peter and Jesus. Because on that lakeside, what happened was this, that Peter discovered that God is not willing to give up on our dreams. Even if we struggle to believe in them, even if we struggle to pursue them, God's not willing to give up on them. God wants us to have our heart's desires so much that he is going to come and deal with whatever it is that gets in the way of us actually being able to pursue them. Because that's what he did with Peter. That's what he did with Peter. And if you know the story of Peter, what you'll know is this, that actually we know that Peter failed. We know that Peter let him down. We know that he denied him 3 times. We know that he ran away. We know that he did all of these things. What did Jesus do? He dealt with each and every part of the things that needed to be sorted out. He, just in the same way that Peter had said to, you know, I don't know him, Jesus asked them again 3 times, do you love me? And each time Peter said, yes, you know that I love you. And each time, undoubtedly, it was like a knife to the heart for him. But this man needed heart surgery. He needed to have that failure, that disappointment cut out from the very depths of who he is. Because that's what God does. He doesn't leave us feeling broken and dejected. He doesn't leave us in that place where our failures are crushing us and stopping us from being able to pursue our heart's desires. What he does is he comes and he rescues us. God, in Jesus Christ, caused Peter to be rescued that day. Those denials, he didn't ignore them. He dealt with them. He forgave him. He forgave him. He forgave him. But more than that, he spoke a word of restoration to Peter. A word that was like, it was the opening up once more of his heart's desire. When he said to him, feed my sheep. What Jesus was saying was this, lead the church. I trust you, Peter. Lead the church. You know when I said that you were going to do it? And you know, when you lead my church, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. It's okay. I trust you, Peter. That thing that I said to you isn't gone. It's not dead within you. I think one of the greatest challenges for those of us who are Christians is this. I think one of the greatest challenges is that sometimes what we do is we try to pursue our best ideas, and we won't let them go. And the reason that we pursue our best ideas is because we think that's what we're supposed to do. But actually, what God wants is this. He actually wants us to trust him enough to let even our best ideas die. He wants not simply to resuscitate our best ideas, but he wants to bring resurrection ideas, which are even better. And let me just explain what I mean by that. What I mean is this, that sometimes what we do as Christians is we try to be faithful, we try to do the things that we're supposed to do, but they're not God's dreams. They're not the best thing. And what we need to do is we need to let go of these things. We need to actually lay them down and trust God. You know, that actually what he has for us will be the very best that we can possibly have. It was only after the pain of failure and knowing that he just simply was not up for the work that he was called to do as the leader of the church, it was only at that point that Peter was able to actually hear once more God's word to him, which was, feed my sheep, lead my church, do the thing that we said that you would do. So we all have God dreams. It's easy to miss them. It's easy to sleepwalk through life. But God is determined to bring these things back to life within us. So the question is, how? How is it possible? Well, we go back to the Psalm again. Psalm 37, verse 4 said, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. How do we do that? We delight ourselves in God. We do what Peter did. We sort out our problems. We put away the things that we know aren't right, and we say sorry, and we do all the things that we need to do to get ourselves right with God, and then we follow after Jesus with all our heart, with all our mind, with everything that's within us. We say, I'm yours and yours alone. From now to the end of all days, I am yours. I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do. It is about devoting ourselves to God, about giving ourselves entirely to him. If we do that, then what we find is this, that he gives us the desires of our heart. As we follow after him, we come alive in a way that we have never perhaps experienced up till now. The amazing thing about Resurrection Day is that it speaks deeply to places about the hope for change. Things that we look at and we think, oh, that's always going to be the way that it is. God looks at it and says, I can change those circumstances. I can do what's impossible for you, because I will use the same power that raised Jesus from the dead in your life today. That's what he says. That's what he promises. So what do we do? For some of us, it's a case of saying yes to God for the first time. For some of us, we've never done that. We've never actually said, yes, God, I'm willing to actually live for you. I'm willing to give my life to you. I'm willing to lay down everything, and I'm going to follow you all the days of my life. And that's right. And for some of us, that's what we need to do. We need to discover what that is and how to do that. And today, there's an opportunity to do that. To just say, yeah, I do want to give my life to God. I've heard all of this Christian stuff, and actually, I want it. I've decided it's real. I want it. And for some of you, that might be where you are today. For others of us, we're on the road back to God. You know, we're on the road back to God, returning to him. Perhaps returning after years. Perhaps returning after a short time, but returning anyway, having been far away, having kind of lived in a different way, God calls us back again and says, come back. The amazing story of the prodigal that returns, it isn't so much that the boy who realized that actually his life wasn't working out turned and came back. The bit of the story that gets me every time is the fact that the father was watching for him. Always, always, always. Even at the times when we think, you know, actually, we're away and God doesn't know anything about us, be very clear. The Father is watching out for us. He's looking for us to return. He's yearning for the day that we'll come back again into his house. And maybe for some of us today, that's where we're at. We need to say, yep, God, I'm willing to do that. I'm willing to come back to you. And for others of us, it's perhaps folks who have lived what I would describe as a dutiful, enduring Christian life. Perhaps where we have settled into patterns and where we're not living the life that God has called us to, where we are maybe not sleepwalking through life, but certainly where we're not living in full technicolor with HD surround sound. That's what we're supposed to be doing. That's actually what God has called us to. And today, what we need to do is we need to repent. We need to turn away from that. That's the wrong way of thinking, a wrong way of understanding. And we need to say, God, I am absolutely for you, 100%, and I'm going to go for this. And I'm going to commit myself to following you all the days of my life in every way that you want. Today is Resurrection Day for you and for me. Today is the day where God is going to break in and he is going to give us our heart's desires. He is going to speak to those deep places within us, our hopes, our dreams, our deepest longings. And he's going to say, I'm ready to breathe my resurrection life over what has been dead in you today. And I'm going to bring it back to life. Not resuscitate it. We don't want that. Resurrect it. New life that comes from God and God alone. That is what he promises. Because today is Resurrection Day. Let's pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for just that you would speak this word over us today. It's almost too much, Lord. And yet, Lord God, it is exactly what we long to hear. That the God of all heaven and earth would look upon us and call us up out of death and into life, would speak to our hopes and our dreams and say once more that they are to come true. They are from you. They're not just wishful thinking, but they're actually what you want to do in our lives. And so, Lord God, we ask that today you would come and you would do that deep work in us that only you can do. That you would breathe the breath of God into us, your resurrection power at work in us, changing us forever. Lord, we thank you for your promise that you have called us to live life and life in all its fullness, here and now. We thank you, Lord, that is your desire. And so, Lord, in the quiet of this place, we simply ask, would you speak to us now about the part of our life that you want to bring back to life? Just in the silence, Lord, let your Holy Spirit come and speak to us now so that we would hear directly from you. Father, for those of us who even now are just experiencing that deep, deep sense of pain because of the things that we thought were going to happen but never happened, disappointments that have overwhelmed us, that sense that actually that we have missed our heart's desire, we've lost it. Lord, would you help us to understand the difference between resuscitation and resurrection? Would you allow us even now to let go of these hurts and these difficulties and these pains and these our best ideas? And would you let us let them go now so that, Lord God, you can bring to life your resurrected dreams? That may not look as we thought they would, might not sound as we thought they would, might not feel like we thought they would, but which are actually far better than we could ever ask or imagine. Father, I pray particularly also for those who feel constrained to by the pressure of our own failings, or by the expectation of others, or by the circumstances that we face. Lord, I pray that you would lift off all of that that would stop us from being able to be the people of God that you've called us to be, that would stop us from being able to minister in the way that you would want us to live as you would want us to. Lord, we thank you for your promise that you will send your power, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, that you will use that power in our lives now to do far more than we could ever ask or imagine. So, Lord God, we thank you that here in this place, we are changed. Changed by meeting with you. Changed by you touching us. Lord, thank you. Thank you for all that you have done today. Thank you for all that that will mean now and in the future. And we ask, Lord God, that you would now bless and seal this work that you're doing. And Lord, we thank you that your word tells us that that which you start, you will bring to completion. Lord, we ask that you would do this now, in and through the name of Jesus. Amen.